Check. Okay. You guys can find your seat. Or if you really want to be one of those people, you come back and you take somebody else's seat. If you sit in somebody else's seat in church, that's a pretty major thing. Like if you sat up here and pretended you were one of the Hills or the Barths. So this is a very important announcement to begin with. And that is, do we agree that pastors should be truthful? Well, then you all reprove Clifton when this is over, because I'm not talking about Mark. No. I have something much more important today. And I'm really glad that I get to do this. We're going to take the whole service, and I'm going to honor moms. And, you know, we don't do this very often. We are traditionalists here. We sort of do our thing, and it's really hard to get us off of doing our routine thing. And we only do it for very special, very important things. And today, I get to do that for mothers. And I'm really glad that I get to do it. Because I think it's absolutely right and proper that we do that. Now, we live in strange times. And lots of really good fundamental things are under great attack in our culture. And one of the forms that the attack takes is that they try to redefine things that we have always known what they meant, but people try to redefine them. So to begin here, I want to provide some clarity by giving some definitions so you know exactly what it is that I'm talking about. So to begin with, we need to define what a mother is. And you might think it's easy. You might just say, well, a mother is obviously somebody who gives birth to a child. And you wouldn't be wrong. And it seems very simple and straightforward, but because of the age we live in, we're forced right away to define another term, and that is woman. And thank God, and I mean that most sincerely, we're not as intelligent or educated as some Supreme Court justices. And so we can simply accept the definition that God has given us. And he said this. He said, God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. And it said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So this is, and then, of course, that's male and female. But Adam, when he saw Eve, he said, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man. So putting these two things together, here's my definition. A woman is the female part of the image of God, designed to allow him to bring new people into the world. Because his command, of course, was to say, be fruitful and multiply. And people say the Bible isn't practical. All the confusion in our culture could be cleared up right here if we just would accept what God says. Now, before we move on, I want to pause here because it'd be easy just to move on from here, but I think we need to stop and we need to marvel at what God has done here. He has done this amazing, really nearly unbelievable thing. And it's easily passed over, but he decided that new people would be born into the world, he had needed more people. How was he going to get them? Well, he came up with this crazy scheme to have a person grow inside of another person. And to knit them together very carefully. It says in Psalm 139, it was you who created my inmost parts. David speaking to God. He says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. And God carefully crafts each person that lives in this hidden place. Inside a person. I mean, it's nuts. It's crazy. And like all great miracles of God, we just get used to this idea and we just sort of accept it. But what could be more marvelous than that? Starting from a single cell, God miraculously, piece by piece, puts together a person. And that person lives inside of another person for a while. And then, like this amazing magic trick, out comes this person. But in that knitting together, there is this intimate bond formed between each person and the woman who gives them life. So dads, we're really not part of this. We think, oh, there's the baby. But the baby's been there a long time, and the baby and mom already have this relationship. It's phenomenal. And the more we learn about it, we think we understand, but really just the more amazing it becomes. It's astounding. You know, your whole blood system gets rewired as you're coming down the birth canal. It's unbelievable. Now, because we live in a world that's been marred by sin, we know that sometimes there are problems. And not all babies see life outside their mother's womb. But still, there is no other way for babies to be born. There's no other way for people to get here. And God has ordained that every person on the planet has a mom who gave birth to them. And we should worship God and be thankful for the mother who gave us life. Whether we think she was a good mom or not. Because it comes at great cost to give us life. For every mom, it comes at great cost. Especially now when so much of our culture tells them, just throw them away, we don't need them. And yet they made the choice to endure the difficulty and the pain and to give life. And it's a great sacrifice, and they should be honored for it. And I want to say here that if being deceived by that lie is part of your life, I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know it's not an unforgivable sin. It's part of my story, and if it's part of your story and you've not known quite how to deal with that, would you please come talk to me? I would love to share with you how God can set you free from any sin. So anyway, so we could stop there in our definition of what a mother is, but if we did, we'd be wrong. Because the world is filled with sin and things are not always as we'd like them to be, not everyone lives life with the mother who gave them life. And for a number of reasons. Some people grow up with a woman who has made the decision to become their mother after they were born. This is true of 5 of my 10 grandchildren. My daughters chose to give life to children that they did not give birth to. And there are women here that have made that same choice. And some of you here grew up with a woman that was not the mother who gave you birth. And those choices are heroic and should be honored as well. There are other moms who desperately desire to bring life to a child, but because of sin, again, it didn't work out. And that baby never saw the light of life. But they too are moms. They too feel the pain and the loss. And we should honor them as well. And so, putting it all together, here's, I think, my definition now. A mother is a woman who is moved by compassion to decide to lay down her life so that a child may have life. And that's really the essence of what it is to be a mom. And I hope you notice the fact that I included she must be a woman. It's not that a man cannot make that same decision. A man could decide to give his life to give a child life, but that doesn't make him a mom. It makes him a dad. And no matter how many surgeries a man undergoes or how deluded we become, he can never become the feminine part of the image of God. He will never possess the strength, the beauty, the grace, and the tenderness that God has decided should reside in that part of his image. And that is a gift that he has decided to give to each one of us. To women only, and through them to every person who has ever lived. And so that's why it's right to take a day and honor moms. Because each decision to give a life is a heroic decision that should be honored. And normally we honor such heroic acts. You know, if you're a fireman, police officer, soldiers, you know, we may not honor them like they deserve, but we do have parades for them, and, you know, we recognize their sacrifice. We understand it's desperately needed and that they're truly doing something great. But, you know, and we even have t-shirts for them. That's, of course, how we honor people in America. We put it on a t-shirt. But moms don't get a lot of t-shirts. Tragic blindness. Our culture does not extend even these small honors to being a mom, to motherhood. Yeah, we have Mother's Day, but who's going to clean up after it's all done? Right. If a fireman had to clean up, we'd at least pay him overtime, right? And now feminists would have us believe that mothers are overlooked because they're women. But that's not true. It's not that we don't honor women in our culture. We honor women in our culture all the time. But they are honored for things which are much less difficult and significant than being a mom. They are honored, even worshipped, for things like beauty, youthfulness, losing weight, or success in the marketplace. They're held up. But none of these things require a molecule of the courage, skill, and sacrifice that are needed to be a mom. Some of these are just granted at birth. Yet who can recall a woman on the nightly news being honored for her devotion in raising her children or for the skill needed to manage their home? When was the last TV series or movie that treated the accomplishments of motherhood with the respect and admiration that it deserves? No, in our culture, the heroic mind, in our cultural mind, the heroic feat of being a mom has become something barely worthy of notice. Women are honored for being a mom and something else, but the emphasis is always on something else. Motherhood has been reduced to something that's stuffed between the cracks of significant things in a woman's life. People are excited when a famous woman becomes pregnant, not because they believe she's been promoted to a higher position, but precisely because she will go on living like she always has. Her motherhood is celebrated because she will validate the myth that being a mom is a small thing that can be done without interrupting a woman's pursuit of her life. Her baby will be treated as a mere accessory that she'll bring out occasionally when the right outfit, but will be left conveniently out of sight when it will not advance her image. An insult is added to injury by honoring women who specialize in just one of the myriad of tasks that a mom does every day, like cooking food or writing a book about organizing closets or giving tips on how to remove stains from children's clothes. Accolades and money are heaped on her. Such women, while the average mom routinely handles all of these day after day while doing six other tasks, buying groceries, cooking dinner, while she balances a child on her hip. And they do it all without their ingredients being handed to them in nice, clean little bowls. Our culture will honor a woman for being a writer while reducing her role as a mother to the miscellaneous facts in her biography. They'll say she is 36 years old and a mother of two. They are lauded for the fact that they have written a book, not the fact that they have unlocked the secret of knowledge for a slightly dyslexic 5-year-old through hundreds of hours of reading the same mindless book again with enthusiasm and love. The greatest intellectual feat is buried. Our culture labels motherhood a simple, mindless job, but every mother must master multiple unintelligible languages while teaching each one of us our native tongue. Overlooked are the thousands of hours of free counseling, emotional support she has handed out, the stacks of clean clothes that have magically appeared, and the countless runny noses she has wiped. The fact that she has spent sleepless nights seeking the comfort of those too helpless to care for themselves doesn't garner any notice. And in our ultimate insult, we heap upon her the responsibility to teach her daughters that they should strive to become something more. To allow mere accomplishments in the field of business or government to be praised beyond the sacrificial acts of love done by a mom in the smallest home is a terrible injustice. To value improving the production of widgets or increasing company assets as something more worthy of your talents than the feat of sitting a couple of happy children in moderately clean clothes before a plate of macaroni and cheese shows a value system that is completely upside down. Can we not see that the planet is dying precisely because we have produced far too many widgets and not enough good people. Moms, you have been entrusted with the world of the small and the seemingly insignificant. But this is the world that matters most. And we must do all that we can to honor, cherish, and protect it. For in the soil of unnoticed things are planted the seeds of our destiny. Being made in the image of God, the power contained in each new life is difficult to fathom. Each person possesses the potential to impact the world with great goodness or to become a source of great evil and pain. They may bring life and happiness to thousands or misery to multitudes. And what determines what effect each person will have? Well, to be sure, there are many factors, and each of us bears the responsibility of our own choices. But God has given to moms a profound trust. While every complicated thing that man creates, we distribute the care of it among thousands of professionals. But God confidently places each new life into the loving embrace of just one mom. And no matter how blind a society becomes to the value of her role, mom's impact on each life cannot be erased. Hers is the world where the future is knit together for good or evil. Around her, our particles are gathered together and placed in orbit. Before we can speak or even crawl, our identity is shaped and molded by our interaction with her. And even when we set off to wander our own course, she remains the fixed star from which we navigate. And because God has so honored mom with his exalted position, he has also blessed you with a true beauty. Beauty that is strong enough to bear great pain and heartache while she continues to smile and softly sing. Beauty tender enough to kiss away our wounds, small and great. Fearful enough to teach us to do what is right. A beauty that grows greater as she labors tirelessly all day and through the night. A beauty charitable enough to go without so that there will be enough for others. And God has also blessed her with great vision. It's piercing enough to see in the fumblings of our small beginnings the great acts of the future. But above all, God has granted her the wisdom to understand that one life may be built up only as another life is laid down. And this is why moms are to be honored and valued and thanked. For more surely than any soldier, she lays down her life. But not in one dramatic gesture that would command our attention. It steadily pours from her in countless ways throughout each day. It flows from her into the lives of her children, where it becomes the mortar that sets in place our character and our spirit. So, to all you moms, I say thank you. I thank you not for the great things that people notice, but for the small things that are expected and therefore go unnoticed. Thank you for your devotion, endless sacrifice, hard work, and most of all, your love. And I beg you, hold fast to the task that God has given you. Our towns have been filled with hundreds of establishments that seek to replace you. Restaurants, dry cleaners, maid services, laundromats, parks and recs programs, art centers, amusements of all sorts, nannies, au pairs, teachers, counselors, psychologists, and experts of all types have been developed to try and match your skill set. Each of these beckons us with the promise of exciting and fulfilling experiences, all claiming to surpass what can be gotten at home. Yet all of them together can never replace a single mom. Mom, if you begin to believe the lie that you have been outclassed by them, we are doomed. If you begin to measure yourselves by the values of this culture and believe there are greater things to give yourselves to, what will we do? Like a fireman who chooses not to run into a burning building, we may not be able to fault you. But by that choice, how many will be lost? What difference will be felt by the world if Saul takes his leave from your home rather than David? And who can imagine the good that will be given to the world by launching a Timothy or a Titus? I know it's hard. I know it's a grind. I know it demands your very life. But I humbly ask you and encourage you with this. It says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. God will reward beyond our most amazing dreams. Do not judge the performance of your duties by the false standards of our materialistic world. God measures rightly, and he rejoices in all the ways that you have laid down your life. And Mom, I know you. I know that while I'm speaking, you're sitting there thinking about not all the good things you've done, but about all the things you could have done better. And to you, I say this. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Your love, God will use to cover over all of your shortcomings. Some of you, like anyone who is asked to risk their life, are wondering if you really have the courage to do what's required. And to you, I give this encouragement. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I'm telling you what, if anybody thinks a woman is weak, if anybody thinks a woman does not have courage, they're sadly mistaken. Mom, you have much courage, much strength. Rely on God and let him develop it and use it for good. Others of you, like all people in thankless jobs, are struggling to believe that all the little things you do in faith will really add up to something great. Especially, you know, when that... when that child has disobeyed for the 40th time. You wonder, really? Is this going to work out? Am I going to be able to do this? Let me just leave you with these verses. Jesus said this, and whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is a disciple, truly I tell you, he will never lose his reward. And those little children in your house are your first disciples. And you've handed out an awful lot of cups of cold water. And you will never, ever lose your reward for that. God will repay. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. And don't forget it. So thanks, Mom. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for my mom. Lord, thank you for the women in this room who have laid down their lives and are continuing to do that day in, day out. Thank you, Lord, for the moms who struggle. Thank you, Lord, for the ones who we think should have done a much better job. Thank you, Lord, that it's your plan. It's your plan for each one of us to be connected to a woman in this way. Lord, help us understand how to honor them. You said to honor your father and your mother is the first command with a promise that it will go well with us if we honor them. So, Lord, help us understand what that means. We all struggle, Lord. We struggle with many, many things. But, Lord, this is your good plan for us. And I pray you bless every mom here. Pray that you'd shower your grace upon them. You'd give them strength. You'd give them courage to fight the fight day in and day out. Lord, I pray they'd learn to lean on you, God, to get strength from you and grace. And Lord, help us as dads and husbands to see the wisdom that you've given them, to see the strength that you've given them, and to support and to help that, God. And I just ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great Mother's Day.